listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
And that you are, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of four of a motley crew today, I think.
Four of a motley crew?
Yes, don't you think?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we've You're got two so. Great crew members here today.
Yes, and so I would be the motley.
We're fairly
No. I'm the motley portion of the crew. Is that what you're
well,
saying?
Well, it depends on how you interpret motley, I guess.
I don't know.
Right?
I'm the only one not wearing a belt.
Well, I like the fact that you're wearing purple. That would
yes.
make you motley in
yeah.
some cultures.
I've gotten a lot of compliments on my purple shirt
I
today.
Think so. I like it.
A couple of my guests yeah. commented on it.
Yeah.
Our guests commented on it. You commented on it.
That's
I
right.
Should wear purple more often.
You're very stylish. You're always stylish, but you know,
well,
particularly
you know.
So today.
And as always, you
today.
Look dashing in your symphony of gray and black.
I wear that for you.
Yeah, it's you.
Yes, I do.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Joining us in studio today, president of We Care About Kids, veteran character actor, screenwriter, art connoisseur, and blacklisted capitalist. We would need about five broadcasts of State of the Arts to cover the illustrious career of our first guest, and we are delighted to have him here to talk about his book, A Leap from the Method, An Organic Approach to Acting. Please welcome Alan Rich.
No applause, please. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad you're
because
here.
Because I saw Paul in a performance of Ghosts.
Oh, you did?
So before anything else goes on, I just want to tell him how wonderful he was in the play.
Thank
well,
you.
How nice is that,
kind of
Mr.
You.
Bravo
Rich.
To you, sir.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you for reading the cue card I'm holding up so effectively. I appreciate
thank
it.
You. I read quite well.
Yes, you do.
But I think you said too much about yourself.
Alan, we're delighted to have you, and we're the first one of two guests.
Exactly, because also joining us in studio, Paul, he is 25% of one of the hottest new singing groups in the U.S., the Company Men, who bring together a unique blend of talent, personality, and showmanship that harkens back to an earlier era while pushing the boundaries of today's current sound. The group is comprised of Sean Peruca?
Yes,
am I saying
Peruca,
that right?
Sean
Good.
Peruca.
Sean Peruca, Stuart Ambrose, a friend of ours,
yes.
Brian Purcell, and today's guest, please welcome Daniel Tater.
Yeah, forget the studio audience clapping. I get
there you
I
go.
Get a theme song.
You get
from
a
who?
Theme song.
Nice.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks
Welcome.
For having
awesome.
Me.
Thanks
Absolutely.
For joining.
Are you going to sing your theme song?
Oh, maybe a little bit later.
But before you do, I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very handsome young man who has all kinds of star potential.
He is
all
a very, right. very attractive man.
Well,
very
thank
attractive.
You, Alan.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were
talking
about
me.
I was going to mention you in the same breath, but
he's,
I forgot.
He's now reading my cue card. Thank you.
Yeah, I concur. Daniel is a good-looking fellow. We
thank
know
you.
That in Los Angeles. He's been on the musical theater stages here in L.A. for a few years now, and taking everybody by storm. He's an amazing talent. Wait till you see him on the stage.
We don't let anyone on the show who is not physically attractive.
That's true. That's
yeah.
one of our
yeah.
we do. Well, you can all be my new managers.
Prerequisite.
No, I want to be your new manager.
Okay, you're on the team.
Paul, before we talk any further with our guests, I wanted to ask you, how was your week?
My week was melancholy, Michael.
Yeah?
It was a melancholy,
melancholy week.
It was a melancholy week.
Why was
week
that?
For me. Because I did something I've been putting off for a long time.
I think I know what you're going to say.
You do.
I do.
What do you think it is?
The departure of the bike.
Yes, that's right. I sold my motorcycle this weekend.
Wow.
Probably the best thing you have ever done in your entire life.
I tell you, I'm starting to feel that way because I just, you know, I grew up with motorcycles. My father raced motorcycles for
yeah.
years, and I just, after one too many close calls, and it all comes down to one thing, cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Texting,
mm-hmm.
people texting on cell phones. Mm-hmm. It's like two close calls in one day, and both times people are not even looking up through
right.
their windshield.
Yes.
And we've had this conversation
yes.
before. So I am sad right now, but when people ask me, you know, are you, do you miss the motorcycle? I said, I love motorcycles, but I love walking erect even more.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
a little postpartum depression?
Well, I think, you know, the thing is, we'll go, and if Monica and I go on vacation and we're someplace like Hawaii or Santa Fe, we want to go to Santa Fe, where it's a little more wide open, maybe we'll rent one for the day and do some mountain roads or something.
But right.
Me and L.A., and L.A. traffic are just not a wise combination on two wheels.
You mentioned something about the cell phone thing, which and the safety issue. And the other day, a colleague of mine who books talent in town here, she was approaching a stoplight and looked, her phone rang. It was sitting on the seat, you know, the passenger side. She looked at it, just looked at it, and it was in that split second. She hit the car in front of her, completely totaled her own car.
Yeah.
And the car in front of her. Nobody was hurt, thank God, but that's what happened in a split second.
No.
And so, I was just looking at the cell phone on the seat.
I know. So, you know, and the thing is, a fender bender in a car is a broken leg on a motorcycle.
Right.
You know, it's just, you have no protection.
Exactly.
So, anyway. So, on to nicer topics. How was your week?
It was good. I mean, you know, still kind of reveling in the opening of Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. Which,
reveling?
I think so. Yes.
You're a reveler.
I think so.
Yeah.
Do I have a right to revel, don't
you,
I?
You do.
You were there.
Yeah.
It was a great opening with Lainey Kazan. You know who Lainey Kazan is?
Turns out Lainey very, very well.
Turns out to be a great friend of Alan's.
Oh,
we were
wonderful.
Talking in the lobby
as a matter
about
of fact, she's going to be in a movie that I wrote called The Tomato King.
Oh, fantastic.
Which will star, what the fuck is his name? what the hell is his name?
The gentleman we spoke of earlier, Joseph Bologna?
No, Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller.
Yeah, Jerry Stiller. Oh, okay.
Because Annie and I go back about 50 years.
And
I coached her in Streetcar.
Really?
When she was 19.
Was she the neighbor in Streetcar? She's the downstairs. Was she the downstairs neighbor of?
No. She was going to play the Kim Hunter role.
Oh, okay.
And I coached her for it, and she did quite well.
Wow.
She's a wonderful actress.
Ann Mira.
Annie Mira, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait to get to some of his tales.
Yeah, no, she is a
but the whole family are great, you know.
Yeah, it's a shame nothing ever happened for their son. And nothing ever came to fruition. Poor kid.
Well, he's,
you know,
poor Ben.
He's also right to play me in the Dolly story that I wrote.
Oh, yeah?
Which Chris Plummer is going to play the lead in. And we have a good shot at raising the money this year. It's a $10,600,000 budget, and it's now about 1,000 to 1. But most of the time, it's 1,000,000 to 1 whether a movie will ever get
That's
made.
True. That's true.
But 1,000 to 1 is not bad odds.
But I want to talk. We want to bring up the Dolly thing because it's a fascinating tale. But shall we give Alan his intro that he is due?
I think we should.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to go with
it? I will.
All right.
Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is truly one of the legendary character actors of our time, sharing the stage and screen with the likes of Al Pacino, Dustin Hoffman, Jessica Lange, Ralph Fiennes, Robin Williams, and Robert De Niro. Yet entertainment is only a small part of his fascinating life, which includes being pals with Salvador Dali. About his book, A Leap from the Method, Jack Lemmon had this to say. The book presents an organic method that is filled with inside information, and there is an added plus. It's fun to read. Please welcome Alan Rich.
I don't like so much applause.
Well, then why'd you bring them all with you?
Well,
you got a whole busload
No,
here.
Because Daniel brought them.
They're my fan club.
And he is the clap part of this.
The company man fan club,
Not literally, but figuratively.
That's right. So, he doesn't go anywhere with that.
At any rate, the reason that I say no applause is because Chekhov wrote a play many, many years ago. And opening night, there was no applause. And he ran out of the theater terribly upset when all of a sudden everybody got up and started to scream, author, author, author. And then the same thing happened with Death of a Salesman opening night. There was no applause. And Arthur Miller ran out of the theater terribly upset, went to a bar and had two big stiff scotches when one of the guys from the cast ran over to him and said, come on in, they're yelling, author, author, author. Now, when you do something on the stage that is dynamic, the people are quiet. Yeah. If you get that applause too fast, it merely means they're just saying, okay.
Yeah. It's that, that moment. It's that moment where it settles.
Yeah.
Where the audience, it's almost like the audience needs recovery time.
They need a few moments to get back to themselves, because a great play will move you.
There was a film called Requiem for a Dream, a Darren Aronofsky film, and my wife Monica and I saw it, and that was exactly the case, because I've never seen a film where everyone in the theater sat there silent and no one got up and left all the way through the credits. It was just, you needed that recovery time. It was so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Do you think that applies, though, only to plays and motion pictures, perhaps, like you just cited?
As opposed to what?
As opposed to a musical, for example, in the theater. That seems to end on a different note, generally.
Well, a musical has different requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you heard Itzhak Perlman do a Brahms violin concerto,
sure. Right.
You might sit there very quietly at the end of that.
Yeah. Right. If you aren't weeping.
Or Beethoven's Ninth.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever heard Beethoven's Ninth, if it's magnificently done, most of the young people in America haven't got a clue as to who Beethoven, Bach, or Brahms was, and they're going deaf over this incredible excuse for music. It's like the art world and Jackson Pollock. People don't realize that Jackson Pollock never sized the canvas before he painted it. He took pure canvas and threw house paint all over it. So he now spends $50 million to buy a great big Jackson Pollock, and the guy puts it up under his over his carpet, and the next morning it's all flakes over his carpet. So they formed a company that just restores Jackson Pollock paintings.
Because if you don't size it, then you get the damage when it retracts, right? When it
nothing sticks to a canvas, which is pure house paint.
Right.
You have to put gesso on the canvas in order to do that. So I learned all this.
Yeah, that brings us to what I was talking about before. Now you had an art gallery, and it was and you became friends with Salvador Dali.
Well, I was blacklisted for 20 years.
Right.
Actually 8 years, but then my agent went to the coast and I didn't work again for 12 years. And during that time I had to support my family. So I answered all kinds of ads, and I ended up selling toys door-to-door in Hicksville, New York. And the kids will pee all over me and God knows what. And the girls who ran the company ran away with all the money, and I was arrested. I had to call my cousin Eddie to bail me out. And they finally had all the Santa Clauses with beards and all the stuff, and my cousin got everybody off. Then I got a job selling vacuums, Electrolux vacuums. They taught us how to do it. You knock at a door, and you say, and the woman says, "Who's there?" You say, "The lady next door." "What?" We're testing your carpet for Morthex. So you put your foot in the door, and you say, "Where's your plug?" So the woman shows you the plug. You plug in the vacuum. You with the vacuum. And when you're finished, you take a bag out of the vacuum and you shake it on the floor and you look at it as if you've just seen somebody die. And you say, "Oh, my God, you're going to live with this caca? How much?" She says, "What should I do?" I said, "Where's your bedroom?" You put a pile in the bedroom. You put them on all the couches. She says, "What should I do?" It's only 30 cents a week for the rest of your life.
Certainly, Electrolux vacuum.
So I couldn't get in because a lot of the women caught on, so I figured I'd use a French accent. So I knocked and I said, "Pardon, I would like to test your carpet for the Morse eggs. So the woman started talking French to me. I said, please, madame, don't talk French to me. I've just come here for a very short time. You must speak English. So she slammed the door in my face, and that was the end of Electrolux. So the next time I answered an ad for Wall Street. Justin Stepler Incorporated, 25 Broadway, paying $150 a week. I had $150 a week. I ran down there. When I walked in, there were 100 guys on the telephone screaming, just give me 1% of your up, then I'll earn the other 99. So I went through this whole thing, and I saw a sign, Beverly Stepler office. So I knocked at the door. This woman said, come in. I walked in. She was sitting with her legs spread on the desk. You could see Trafalgar Square. And I said to her, she said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm answering the ad. And she said, you got any relatives? I said, yeah, a few. She got one with money? I said, yeah, my Uncle Louie has money. She says, what's his telephone number? I said, I don't know. She said, where does he work? He works in Washington Market. She picked up the phone, said to our secretary, get me the Louis Frankel in Washington Market. She gets him on the phone. He says,
he spoke with a very heavy Jewish accent. You said, who is this?
She said, this is Beverly Stepler. What's your name? My name is Benjamin Norman Schultz.
It's Benjamin Norman Schultz here.
Oh, this is Benji. Let me talk to him. Hello, Uncle Louie.
Yeah, what is it, Benji? Where are you?
I said, I'm in Wall Street. Wall Street, what are you doing there? He wants to know what I'm doing here. She says, it's Crown Uranium. It's 10 cents a share. It's going to $10. Uncle Louie, the lady says it's Crown Uranium. 10 cents a share. It's going to $10.
He said, how much should I buy?
I said, he wants to know what to buy. She said, 10,000 shares. So how much is 10,000 shares? $1,000. She says, okay. And I was in Wall Street. The next day, I called my cousin Dan Lake. I said, Dan, I'm in Wall Street. He said, what firm are you with? I said, Justin Stepler Incorporated. There was a long pause, and he said,
you're going to jail.
You're going to jail.
This from a man who had worked with Edward G. Robinson and Henry Fonda and Ralph Bellamy.
You're talking about Eddie Robinson there?
Alan, I got to ask you about this because I'm curious about the film, because when Doug Kayback, who directed Ghost, who gave me your book, because I know that you teach the class, you do seminars at the Cal State Northridge. What I was interested about, and it's a very unique book in that it's a hybrid of, it's not just a biography, like it's a textbook that's also your biography, which is why I think it's so interesting. Well, this every bit of lesson in here is born of your experience. Was that what you set out to do when you
exactly
wrote it?
What I did was utilize my biography, but everything in the biography has something to do with acting.
Yeah.
And the developmental process of acting. I didn't tell all the things that occurred in my life because that's boring. It might be good if I write a novel about my experiences, but I didn't put any of those experiences in there, only for one reason, because it proved up a purely organic point of view in life. You know, ask Daniel, because he'll tell you. Acting is an intricate part of the human condition. Everybody is acting at all times. Right now, I'm in the throes of acting because something happened this morning to me in a relationship that is extremely disturbing. So in order to do this, I had to do an entire act, which is what I'm doing right now, because the pain of what occurred in my life 3 or 4 hours ago is a devastation. Somebody I know for 75 years double-crossed me.
Ooh. Mm.
It's so painful, I cannot tell you. But my acting is pretty damn good because none of you knew anything about it.
No, it's true.
Now, if you're having an argument with your wife and you're cursing at her and you're saying, God damn it, leave me alone. I don't want to hear from you anymore. And the phone rings, you say, hello, listen, can I call you back in a little while?
Right.
Thank you. Oh, I feel great. Goodbye. Yeah, I'll call you right back. You dirty son of a bitch.
Right.
And you go right back to it.
Right.
Because it's all acting. If you get up in the morning and you have a working day and you didn't sleep all night and your wife didn't put out the night before, you're not feeling too well. But when you go to the office and your boss says, how are you this morning? You say, great, I feel great. That's acting.
Right.
Any more questions?
We have Monica on line two.
I think what you said earlier, that's to me what made, and the book for our listeners, we mentioned it earlier, we'll mention it again. It's A Leap from the Method, An Organic Approach to Acting. It's by Alan Rich. The website for the book is aleapfromthemethod.com. And that's what made it such a fascinating read for me, Alan, because it is just... It's not often that you get lessons, if you will, intertwined with these great anecdotes that you have about the people that you work with. I especially loved the thing in the book about when you did Quiz Show and Robert Redford, and you added to that scene with Rob Morrow. When I
threw the word really
in. We just threw the congratulations.
Yeah, oh, no, that's in that first scene because right. Bob said, when I came out of the door and...
should tell the listeners, for those that don't recall, Alan played the president of CBS...
Yeah, called Kintner.
...in Quiz Show. Yeah.
By the way, Milton Berle told me all about him, so I was prepared. So did Art Linkletter. Art Linkletter told me a story about him because Art was a good friend of mine. He said, I was at a party with Kintner, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and Kintner said to me, you are the greatest on television. And then he passed out, put his face in a plate of soup. So he said to me, this guy was a terrible drunk. And Milton said the same thing to me. He said, he was so drunk, he put me on a bowling show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very disturbing for Milton, because to go from Mr. Television to a bowling show didn't sit with him very well.
Bowling,
he
imagine,
said he was just
bowling.
A fucking drunk.
Bowling
so
for
when
Burl.
I went to play the part, I came out of the office, I took about 3 drinks in make-believe, and I came out, and the kids, Bob Morrow said to me, I'm with the committee. And I didn't, and I don't look at him when I walk out. So Bob Redford said, print that. That was very good, Alan. I said, listen, Bob, I think I have a better take for you. He said, nah, I like that take. He walked away, turned around. He said, okay, let's go. Give Alan another take. So at the other take, Bob Morrow said to me, I'm with the committee, a congressional committee. And I said, congratulations, and then walked out. Bob said, print that. That's much better.
Those moments that happen that are just happen on set that weren't planned. There's another one you mentioned in the book about Serpico, when you did the film Serpico with Al Pacino, and you asked to have someone there to take your jacket.
Exactly.
And it just sort of gave your character much more gravitas.
Exactly.
And it's so nice to hear that the actor has that. I mean, obviously, it's an actor, someone like you, who has, so established and so well known. But it's always encouraging to hear that there are directors that will still allow the actor to have that input.
But there's a great story. I had a wonderful director on Tully Savalas' show. What was
Kojak.
It? Kojak,
yeah.
I'm playing a judge who is dishonest. And the lawyer who I set up and made a buck off, comes in and said, I think they're going to catch us. So I said to the director, I said, you know, in my fantasy of the scene, while I was fantasizing the scene, I saw a bar in my fantasy. So he said, hold it, get this man a bar. And in about a half a second, they brought in a beautiful bar, and I went and took a drink during the scene, and it absolutely changed the whole rhythm of the scene.
Yeah.
So when you get a really good director, it works wonders. And then I did another thing which is really interesting. I did a series called Kaz with Ronnie Liebman.
Okay.
And
great actor.
A great actor. Yeah. And there were a lot of great actors on that show. It was a wonderful show. And every week we had a different director. And most of the directors were traffic cops. So if Ronnie was good in the scene and I was lousy in the scene, I couldn't get another take. So the sound man was named Fast Eddie. I think I put that in the book, too. So I said to Fast Eddie, listen, Eddie, when you see me wiggle my left ear, blow the take, and I'll give you $50. So I'll do it for you.
I can't see through the headset. Oh, you okay?
See that?
He's wiggling his ears.
His ear wiggled. So I wiggled my ear, and the sound guy, Fast Eddie, said, "Somebody made a noise." The director said, "Okay, let's go again." And I was always able to get another take.
That's great. That's great.
Just an itty wabbit in the sunshine.
The book is A Leap from the Method, and it is by A Leap from the Method, An Organic Approach to Acting with Alan Rich. Alan, please stick around. We want to chat with you again before we wrap it up, but we do have to pay the bills briefly, and then we will get back to our guests and also get a chance to chat with Daniel. Michael, you are
yes.
going to kick off our sort of our arts calendar.
Yeah, this week. A little bit. This is a kind of an important thing to me personally, and that is about distinguished composer Michelle Brauerman and cabaret sensation Pat Whiteman, who will be appearing at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal this Sunday, April 22nd. In concert for HopeNet, which is a very beautiful and a very special organization which feeds the hungry and or homeless of Los Angeles. Run mostly by volunteers, HopeNet served 175,000 households and nearly 400,000 persons in 2011. And that number is roughly triple the number of people that HopeNet was serving a few years ago, representing the homeless and those who are hungry. HopeNet has 14 food pantries in the Los Angeles area. And join us on Sunday to contribute to their welfare and the caring of our people in Los Angeles who are unfortunate and not in homes and or sleeping on the streets but need food. And if you can't join us on Sunday, please visit their website at hopenetla.org. And perhaps you too can help save the lives of others. For reservations to Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, just call 818-754-8700.
And for further information about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts Live Arts Calendar, visit us at stateoftheartsla.com. Also, you can go to facebook.com/stateoftheartsla. We also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week. And speaking of events happening every day of the week,
yes,
you were an active theater goer this
I
week.
Was.
You attended a production that you want to chat about, right?
I do, actually. I was covering the opening of Billy Elliot, the musical, mm-hmm. at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood. And truly, Paul, this is representative of what great musicals are made of, in my opinion. Perfectly tailored music by the great Elton John with a book and lyrics by Lee Hall.
I'm sorry, Elton?
Elton John.
Oh, okay. Elton
yes,
John. I'm sorry.
That guy.
Yes.
Choreography by Peter Darling and direction by Stephen Daidry, D-A-I-D-R-Y. A winner of Tony Awards. 10 of them, ladies and gentlemen.
10 Tony Awards.
10 Tony Awards and over 81 various theater awards. The show is indeed a celebration of dreams coming true. And as press notes say, the plot is in a small working class town in northern England that follows Billy Elliot, a young boy who stumbles out of the boxing ring and into a ballet class only to discover a life-changing talent that slowly inspires his family and his community. I happen to have the pleasure of seeing Ty Foran play the role last Thursday evening, the title role, and I can tell you honestly, there wasn't a dry emotion in the house for nearly 3 hours. Foran's performance as an actor was as solid as was his dancing, which was jam-packed with spectacular moves that had him literally flying into the rafters. Shout-outs in particular to Leah Hawking as Mrs. Wilkerson's, Mrs. Wilkerson, Billy's ballet teacher, and Rich Herbert, who portrayed his dad. Not to mention a perfect casting, truly a perfect casting of the entire company. The heartfelt, lengthy ovations, which I would say were about 30 seconds after this boy danced during the show, were given...
After every dance.
After every dance.
Just a
was
solid
relentless.
30 seconds.
Yeah, it was relentless.
Unbelievable.
It just was mind-boggling, actually. But it was proof positive that anyone who has ever dreamed of a better life will be inspired by this dream come true on stage at the Pantages Theater running through May 13th. Tickets may be purchased by visiting BroadwayLA.org or by calling 800-982-2787.
And I know we got to get to Daniel, but I got to ask you something, Michael.
Yes.
We spoke about this earlier, and you said that there's four Billy Elliots and they rotate?
There are. There's four of them. They do two performances a week. And at all times in the theater, two of them are present. So
okay.
If something goes wrong during the show, because they're all very young, they're 11, 12 years old.
And it sounds like it's got to be exhausting. I mean, not for a young person, but I mean, well, even
well, it is. It's rather the dancing is very, very heavy duty. You know, as it progresses through the show, when he starts the dance,
very athletic.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. So, and you know, for a young
I auditioned
child,
for that. They
did
didn't,
you?
They weren't interested. No. Yeah.
Could have been your height, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it was actually the walker.
Oh, the walker coming in. Yeah, not a good look at a ballet.
They couldn't figure out how to utilize it.
Well, when they do Billy Elliot on the radio.
There we go.
That's right. That's a whole other story.
Do you ever see that bit that Billy Crystal used to do where he'd do, he would do Sammy Davis Jr. on the radio and he would just put a mint in his mouth and he would just, it would sound like tap dancing because he would just have the mint flying around. It was very, very funny. Anyway. We should chat with our next
guest. Yes, moving on.
And I will do that.
Please.
The Company Men join together to create a truly unique musical experience. Timeless hits, today's sound. Mashing the music of six decades, the Four Tops mixed with Michael Jackson, or Frankie Lyman mashed with Bruno Mars and Beyonce. This collection of music includes a multitude of yesterday's and today's most popular artists, including The Temptations, Maroon 5, and more. One of those very Company Men is with us today. Please welcome Daniel Tater.
Thank you very much.
Well Thank deserved.
You. Wow, that was cut off kind of quick.
Yes.
Alan got a good 10 seconds.
I know, Alan
seconds.
Got a much longer ovation.
It's all right,
than yours.
I won't take it personally.
But he was conducting them, though. That's the only
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's
was.
True. That's good.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are
Thanks
you?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For, I'm
Thank
good.
You both.
I'm
Absolutely.
Good.
Daniel, it's so nice to see you. How long has it been for us? It's been about a year at least.
It has been.
Yeah,
it's
I
been
think
a while.
So.
But we've been talking over email.
We have. Right? We have. And Daniel is a father, relatively new dad, two and
yes.
a half years ago with his beautiful child
like,
and his gorgeous wife.
Much yes. like Stuart Ambrose, who
yes.
is
yes.
another
yeah.
company member.
Yeah,
that's
we,
right.
Actually, the four of us are very much, we kind of are at the same point in our lives, not only career-wise, but also as far as family. And that's kind of how we all started putting this together, thinking,
and
looking
how,
for
an
how
did you all come together, actually?
We all sang with another group, and we actually were in Vegas together doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
And like most actors, you sit around and you're talking like, oh, what if we did it on our own? But it usually just ends there.
Right.
And with this group, it just, you know, kind of...
Followed through.
Yeah, this group followed through. We from the concept to what we're going to do to the look and the songs and the CD packaging and everything, we did. And, we're looking for that to take the opportunity
right.
and drive it ourselves.
Well, where can we see you?
You can see us all over, actually, Alan. We've done several shows at M-Bar here in Hollywood. We were in Chicago. We were down in Tampa. We're going to be in the Dallas area. We're going to be up in San Francisco. So we really are all over. But if you go to thecompanymen.com.
But I can't go on an airplane anymore. Where are you going to be in Hollywood?
Well, right now we're looking to set up our next public performance in May. And if you go to thecompanymen.com, Alan.
What was that again?
Thecompanymen.com.
Thecompanymen.com.
He says that so nicely, doesn't he?
That's where everybody should go, thecompanymen.com.
Now you have an endorsement there,
Alan,
Daniel.
I'm sorry. It's only a four-person group.
You know, you should do voiceover work. You know that?
Yeah, you think I could do that?
Paul, why'd you get him started? Why'd you get him started again?
I want to play a clip of the Company Men here, just so people know what we're talking about, and then Daniel, I will get back to you, but
sure.
I want people to hear because it's just so wonderful. This is it Beggin' Motown?
Beggin', and it's mashed with Motown Philly.
Motown Philly. Okay, see, I'm only looking at a track listing here, but let's give it a listen. This is The Company Man.
Really? Who was doing the lead vocal on that?
That was Sean Peruca.
That was Sean.
Yes.
And very
each,
nice.
What's also nice when we put this together is that each person has that moment, that opportunity. You know, if we played it a little bit longer, you would hear Boyz II Men come in when we each have a moment there.
Right. And,
you know, each song that kind of mashes in, there's a new soloist. So.
And bringing those two elements together, the old and the new, is that by committee? I mean, is it? Is one person sort of spearhead that? Or?
Yeah, you know, for better or for worse, the four of us really make all the decisions together.
Really?
We will sit around, and you should see the number of emails that go back and forth, and the number of texts that go back and forth. We gather in a room, we listen to hours of music together, we'll send lists back and forth, how about this, how about that, and we find the songs that we want to do.
Well, it's certainly working for you.
Well,
People are certainly embracing it.
Well, there's some great tracks here on this CD. Just My Imagination, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, Reach Out, I'll Be There, classic song.
Little Birdie, Pretty One.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Frankie Lyman.
Stand By Me,
Frankie
My
Lyman,
Girl,
teenagers.
I'll Be There.
It is. In the demographic that we've hit, it's so fulfilling because you have people that really love that music.
Mm-hmm.
The concert we did on Friday night, it was a benefit, and people would come up, and they're so glad that we're honoring these classics. Yet we'll do Bruno Mars and we'll do Forget You, which is, what's his name? Help me out. Come on, Alan.
Ooh, Bruno ooh. Mars?
No. Well, we'll do Beyonce, Bruno Mars,
right.
You know, these artists. And so we're also doing modern hits today. So up in the front of the dance floor, all these kids were dancing around. So we're hitting so many different demographics, and
That's
so fulfilling to have so many people loving it.
I got very spoiled by that when I was growing up because we lived in a very rural area and it was, you know, it was a long way to get to a store or whatever. But I had these 78s. Remember the Slate 78s?
Sure.
That they used to have. And they were all my mother's records. So I had Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, and I had Elvis, and I had Buddy Holly and Fats Domino, and the Del Vikings, you know, Come Go With Me, and the Tokens and all this. And it was a really rich sort of musical education for me at a time when this was the mid-60s, early 70s when I was growing up. You know, the music then was not, you know, it was just so nice to have that bass. And I thought, I'm always happy to see that this music address. I mean, Just My Imagination. I mean, it's just a great. You know the Rolling Stones cover of that? Have you ever heard that one?
Yes. Yeah. We listened to several different versions of anything.
But I love your take on it. It's great. And the U2, Still Haven't Found.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
Really,
we'll take.
You know, and a lot of Daniel's success here in Los Angeles came from a show that was written by Roger Bean and had a very, very healthy run here based on jukebox music. And it was called Life Could Be a Dream, in which Daniel starred along with four other wonderful, wonderful performers, and did it almost 2 years here. You were in it a year and a half, I think, right?
Yeah, and then we did it in La Mirada, and we did it in Laguna.
Yes, right.
And I associate directed throughout that.
That's correct.
So
right.
I was always involved. The last about 4 years have been 50s and 60s do up for me.
Not a bad thing.
No, it's fantastic.
It served you very well.
It's fantastic.
And now this, right?
Yes. Well, yeah.
So perhaps you'll talk to me like we started talking, and you'll come and do this at my club at some point.
And what club would that be, Michael?
Pardon?
What club would that be?
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, Paul.
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal?
That would be
it. And it's thecompanymen.com, and it's aleapfromthemethod.com, just while we're throwing websites out there.
Yeah, sure.
Might as well throw them out. Should we give another listen?
I would love to. Is there one? Do we have one specifically with Daniel starting off?
I'll tell you what we have, Daniel, and you tell me. We have Reach Out, Working Day and Night, and we have The Collection.
Well, The Collection does, I don't know how much we're going to play of it, but The Collection, each of us has a solo in that.
Yeah, all right.
We mash Stand By Me with U2, Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, My Girl, different
worth
songs.
A listen, Sean.
Sure, absolutely.
All right. This is, once again, this is The Company Man.
I have climbed highest mountains. I have run through the fields only to be with you, only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, only to be with you. But I still
absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. You know, it's so exciting actually to see each of you bobbing your heads with music.
Everybody's going to do that with that number.
I tell you,
it's terrific.
Of course.
Number.
Stand By Me is one of the great rock and roll songs of the ages.
Exactly.
Just like one of those ones that you can't. I mentioned the Tokens earlier, but it reminds me of. It's one of those ones that has that hook that you just, it's unshakable. It's like The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just the minute that starts.
But they could even go further back. They could go back to, I loved New York in June.
You're right.
How about you?
You'd be surprised maybe you wouldn't be, how many people then come up to us with their own suggestions of medleys.
That's the next album, right?
Gershwin tune.
But what's neat, too, is that you have so many artists today talking about who their influences were. And what we're really doing is taking those influences and mashing it with those artists that are influenced by them. So the music doesn't really change as much as one might think.
No, you're right.
You've got some of the greatest composers in America. You go to Urban Berlin, early Urban Berlin,
mm-hmm.
or you go to Cole Porter. You've got the greatest songwriters in the world from Tin Pan Alley
mm-hmm.
that you should go back into. They're all over the internet.
Well, we in creating this, we created Four Times Entertainment. We're the producers of this, of The Company Men. We're going to create other acts. Maybe we'll create another act.
You've touched on it here though, because you look at You've Lost That Love and Feeling. That was the Righteous Brothers. That was the tail end of Tin Pan Alley. That was the Neil Diamond, Carole King. They were still active when the Righteous Brothers put that there. So, you know, it's touched on. I mean, but I agree. I think you could go back a little further. Mm-hmm. I think you could find
I think you've got hundreds of thousands.
Oh, no.
Of
the wonderful
infinite,
stuff to mine.
Infinite opportunities.
The mistake that the networks have made is not to go after the 70, 80, 90-year-old people. We're all living much longer than we ever lived before.
Yeah.
And there are millions and millions of us out there who don't run around, who stay home at night, and who don't go to nightclubs. They stay watching television or on the internet.
Right.
Well, what's great today is that with the internet, especially, you know, on our website, thecompanymen.com, we have a lot of clips of our music. People are buying our CD online. And people, if you go on our Facebook and our Twitter, you have grandparents, and you also have these high school, college kids. They're right. all leaving comments, so we get direct feedback on it that they're loving it. And
well, listen, I think the point that Daniel made earlier too, and that this is something that there's not a lot of, is I mean, I'm trying to think of pieces of entertainment where someone your age, Alan, and someone Daniel's age could sit in an audience and fully enjoy something the same way. And this is a perfect example of a piece of entertainment that would meet that need.
No, what they've got is a unique process, emotional and creative process that tends to bring people together.
Yeah.
We are stealing all these quotes, just so you all know.
Yeah, well,
well, you having a quote from Mr. Rich is invaluable.
Together,
yeah.
Which is one of the most difficult things that's going on in our culture.
Yeah.
We have to bring the people together because the people in power are destroying the democracy. The democracy is almost completely destroyed. The Patriot Act has lessened our ability to function as a democracy.
Well, inside the M-Bar, when we do our shows there, you have people young and old in there. It's kind of, people refer to us as the modern day Rat Pack. So things like the Patriot Act don't come into the M-Bar when we're performing. So.
We should really, because I love the production values on this, we've heard today. Justin Avery and Ethan Carlson, and as you said, Four Times Entertainment. So that's the four of you. Very nice production job
Thank
on
you.
This CD.
Thank you
I'd certainly
much.
Play this.
And it's great packaging.
Absolutely. Yeah. Simple, to the point. Exciting.
And that's what's so exciting is that we created this packaging too. It's you know it's the first project that we all created every aspect of it. So it's really rewarding.
And it sounds
rewarding.
To me like you're really, I mean, I know that I spoke to Stuart about it because Stuart's wife, Megan, is a member of the theater company that I work with, Seaglass. And you guys are really exploiting the social media and all that, and it's really working for you, really getting folks there.
We're trying.
So we'll pick that up. The collection, we're going to pick that up and have it play us off the air a little later. But once again, when we go back to the websites, it's thecompanymen.com. It's a leap from themethod.com. And hopefully, you guys should play the Federal.
We'd love to. That's why we're emailing. We want to perform as much as we can.
Because it's a bigger room to fill. It's a bigger room to fill than Sterling's upstairs. Michael has the Sterling's upstairs at the Federal now, but before that he was at Vitello's.
I'd love to do an evening of Shakespeare for him.
At the Federal?
Absolutely.
And you're the same age as that building. You said you were both born the same year, 1926. That's when the building was.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah.
But what I do when I do Shakespeare is I explain the play first. And then do the monologue.
Nice. Do you do it with musical underscoring?
No. I'm enough for that.
Well, we'd love to. How many people? How much does it? How many people does it sit?
Only four. So it's a tough room to fill.
110.
All right. Well, our last few shows have sold out at M-Bar. So our last three shows. So
what does M-Bar hold?
That's 100. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a beautiful room. It's a beautiful room. But because it is bigger than Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's was, it's a longer room. I think four guys could overpower Vitello's, but it wouldn't overpower this
place. That's a good point.
You know, don't you think?
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah.
I'd like to make one point.
Please do.
If your audience goes to allanrich.com, I have a lot of things about the book, about my nonprofit company.
Yes.
They can scroll around. I even did a lot of Shakespeare on there and a lot of political things.
You're right, Alan. I'm sorry. I didn't mention that. I was only mentioning, it's a good point. I was only mentioning the website for the book, which is Leap from the Method.
But Allanrich also has a Leap from the Method on there.
I'm holding this up like you need to read your own name. Did you like that?
Thank you very much.
It's allanrich.com. Yes. I'm holding up his book and I'm pointing to his name.
Yes.
Like, just make sure you get the spelling right there, Alan.
Do we have time to baptize our guests?
I don't think we do. I think we're just sort of a little,
what's going on?
A little tight to... we don't have much time.
If we give you each a minute, minute, tell us about something.
We have 1 minute left.
All right. So briefly, tell us about one memory, awkward moment funny, sad in your performing career? Can be in film, can be in the theater.
Okay, that's good.
You've got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. In 1951, I played Darkness at Noon by Sidney Kingsley, starring Edward G. Robinson, at the Biltmore Theater downtown. Mm-hmm. And Jack Palance came back with a young lady because I had played it with him in New York. And in walked this beautiful blonde lady, and she came up to me and she said, "Oh, I loved your performance. Do you mind if I kiss you?" I said, "All right." So she kissed me right on the mouth. And I said, "Excuse me, but that's my wife Elaine over there." So she said, "Oh, anytime you don't want him, I'll take him." And my wife said, "You can have him right now." And the lady was Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
That's a trade out, isn't
it? It's going to be a tough one to top.
You're on,
time?
Daniel.
I'll give it to you in 10 seconds. I was doing a Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. We were toured around. It was a new costuming staff each time. They were very excited. They were packing up the clothes. They packed up one scene too early, and I went out without pants on.
That's very good.
You topped me.
It propelled his career into a different place.
Yes. The reviews were stellar.
Thank you both. Pleasure having you both. We're going to play
indeed.
A little
Alan,
more of
Daniel,
the,
thank you.
A little more of the Company Men to play us off the air. Michael, always a pleasure to share the microphones with you.
Thank you, Paul, as
and
well.
You. We will see you all next week.
Stand by me. Stand by me.
Listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.